If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
On June 11th, 2025, I was sitting in my house, minding my own business, until I wasn't. That evening, half a dozen police cars from two different agencies converged on my street. And when I looked outside to see what was going on, I saw four teenage boys sitting on the curb talking to cops. My plan was to just go and tell them that they didn't have to say anything. But 10 minutes later, I was in the back of a cop car and my very confused husband was pulling into our driveway. This is the story about how I got arrested in front of my house. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back. We're changing the name to And Then She Was Arrested, or And Then She Was Gone.
It was. Only briefly. All right, guys. This is obviously not a normal episode. It's a bonus episode. For those of you who have been keeping up with us on social media, you know part of the story already, the short version of the story about how I got arrested this summer. And it was really a sucky situation all around, but it was also absurd. And so I'm doing this episode for several reasons. One, because it was just a crazy thing that happened to me and I want to talk about it. Two, I had to hire a lawyer. And so if I can monetize this at all and maybe make a little bit of that money back, that would be cool because that was an unexpected expense. And three, you know, I do think it's important that, especially in our country's current climate right now, that we talk about the police, that we talk about what our rights are, that we talk about what's going on and what we can maybe learn from these situations. And yes, part of it is I'm a little upset with our sheriff's department right now because that's who arrested me. And so, yeah, maybe I want to call them out a little bit for their nonsense.
Yeah, and I have so much to say about a lot of things.
Right. So what happens when a random mom in her 40s who's married to a cop gets arrested by an agency that I've actually already talked shit about on this podcast?
Yep.
So for those of you who don't know, not to dox ourselves here, but we have mentioned before that we live in Loudoun County, Virginia, and that has come up. We did a two-part episode on Bethany Decker, who is a woman who went missing from Loudoun. And in our opinion, well, my opinion, I don't want to speak for you. In my opinion, the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office very much mishandled that case, which led to another woman getting shot down in North Carolina before the person responsible for Bethany's disappearance and murder was arrested and tried up here. Anyway, Bethany Decker, if you want to look that up and listen to those episodes. So yeah, I've already had an issue with the sheriff's department and clearly it's not better right now. So we're just going to go ahead and talk about that today. And for those of you who are just looking for our normal format of an episode, it'll be back next week. This is going to be very, very different from that. Obviously, we're not dealing with a missing persons case. We are very much just navel gazing, like just talking about ourselves, which we really don't do. So I understand that that is not everybody's cup of tea. But for those of you who just like gossip and drama, like this is a good episode for you.
And to any of the listeners that don't like it when we complain about law enforcement.
Oh, this is definitely not the episode for you.
Do not listen to this episode. But to be fair, while you have a general distrust of all law enforcement, I will be providing my insights from a law enforcement perspective with 15 years of instructing experience. And I'm going to talk about all of the things that this police officer did wrong.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what we're doing here. So enough with all the chit chat. Let's get into the story. For those of you, again, who follow us on social media, I did do like a story time video on this where I kind of talked about the basic things. So some of this you'll already know if you watched that. But what you didn't get was Ethan's commentary. Okay, so this is what happened. June 11th. My entire family's at my house. And by my entire family...
Oh, you're going to get into this?
Well, no, I'm only just going to mention it. We're not going to get into
it. Okay.
But because I did mention this in the video. So my entire family in this situation consisted of my dad, my stepmother, my mother, my sister, her husband, my niece, at the time, two of my three kids,
mm-hmm.
and also my long-lost sister and her entire family. So I found out I have an older sister back in December, and she grew up and lives out of state, and she had come down to basically meet us all, and we had just met the night before. So June 10th. So like this woman does not know me. Her family does not know me. And this is like day two, right? So I invited everybody over to our house. And we are just hanging out, kind of chit-chatting, talking about whatever. You were there at first, and then you had to take one of our kids to his drum lessons.
Right.
So you left.
Yep.
And you were only gone for like an hour, mm-hmm. but a lot happened.
At the end of the hour.
Right, at the end of the hour. Yeah, most of the time you were gone, it was just really... nothing. Like we were just, again, just sitting and chit-chatting. So yeah, it was just like already a weird day in a weird situation. So we're sitting in our fireplace room and someone mentions that there are cop cars on the street. And so I was like, oh yeah, that happens all the time. We live very close to the police station. People are constantly getting pulled over in front of our house, whatever. But then he said, no, there are like a lot of cop cars in front of your house. I was like, oh, all right. I kind of looked out the window and I saw some lights, but I couldn't, just the angle, I couldn't actually see anything. So this is me admittedly being nosy.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Appreciate that.
I am admittedly being nosy because did I need to open the front door?
No, you didn't.
Did I need to step out onto our front lawn to see what was going on? No. However, you know, it's my neighborhood, right? Like, I think I have a right. So anyway, so I step out onto our front lawn, and what I saw was what I said in the intro. Half a dozen cop cars, two different agencies, the county sheriffs and the town police. And what alarmed me is the fact that I saw four Hispanic teenage boys sitting on the curb. They weren't handcuffed or anything like that. So I didn't know what was going on. I mean, I really wasn't worried about what was going on. But you also need to know for context that in our county, in our area, at this time in June, we had had a lot of ICE raids. And the other thing that you know is that we live in a neighborhood that has a lot of Hispanic people. And these kids looked underage to me and they were talking to the police. So I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if this was immigration related. I obviously didn't know their statuses. Like, I didn't know anything about it, but I was concerned. I also have two teenage boys, and these kids looked to be about the same age as my kids. And I know that if my kids were sitting on a curb talking to police, I would want them to stop immediately. So my plan was this. It was to go over there. At this point, they weren't directly in front of my house. They were two houses down. My plan was to go walk by, you know, casually, and tell the kids, hey, you don't need to talk to them. Because again, you don't need to talk to the police.
You're absolutely right.
At all. And especially if you're a minor and you don't have a parent present and you don't have a lawyer present, do not talk to the cops.
Now, to be fair, there are circumstances where you will have to produce ID.
Correct.
For instance, if you are a driver of a vehicle. And some states and local laws do require that you produce ID if at any point a police officer asks you for it, or if you don't have an ID, you at the very least have to give your name. Now, that varies by locality. There are instances where, yes, you do have to have a certain level of communication with law enforcement. However, to your point, if they start asking any investigative questions, you do not have to talk to the police.
Right. You are not getting paid. You don't have to do their job for them.
Right.
So I was just going to casually remind the boys of this. This is my plan. And it should be noted that this plan is entirely in my head. I spoke none of this out loud.
No. You're just standing on the front porch with your mom and you just walk off.
Well, no, I went back in. I put my shoes on because I was barefoot. So I put on my flip-flops. Didn't say a word. And then I walked back out. I walked two houses down. And I've seen the body cam footage. And I took my own video, but I've seen all of the body cam footage from different officers involved, from the cameras that were mounted in their patrol cars. So I've seen this like from multiple angles, right? And including what happened before I got there, what happened after I left. So like that's, you know, where a lot of this information is coming from, because some of it I didn't know at the time, right? So anyway, what happened was I went up there. I was walking. I did not stop walking. And I just kind of leaned down and I said to the one kid, the one who looked like he was talking the most, he was like gesturing and stuff. And I said, hey, you don't need to talk to them. And I didn't even stop. But what happened at that moment was there's this sheriff's deputy who was standing in the street. And the thing you also need to know about where we live is it's a busy street that we live on. There's a lot of traffic and he was standing kind of in the street. I don't know what he was actually doing.
I mean, nothing.
Yeah.
He wasn't involved in this at all.
Yeah. I would consider it a yell. I don't know if you would. Just it was a very like cop voice, you know, it felt aggressive to me.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't necessarily call it a yell. He raised his voice.
Right.
And it was very much like that standard cop voice.
Yeah.
And what did he say?
And he said, keep moving. And first of all, I don't like it when people are factually incorrect. Like, you know that about me. Like, I get really, really irritated when people are just factually incorrect. And so I was not stopped. And so that pissed me off that he said that. And two, like, who the fuck are you to get an attitude with me? I'm not doing anything. So I also, it should be noted, have never had a negative interaction with a police officer before. I've never been in trouble.
Except for me.
Except for you, obviously.
I've had plenty of negative interactions.
I was going to say, I'm like, I've never yelled at a cop before, except for you. but never in an official capacity. I've never gone to your job and yelled at you.
That's fair.
That's the other funny part about this is literally right before all this happened and I was getting to know, and that's why I brought up like the long lost sister aspect of this, because like this was truly a getting to know you thing. Oh my God. No, I just realized I said that my sister and her husband were there, but she wasn't the one who lives here because she had COVID. So she was,
oh, that's
she
right.
wasn't even there.
You're right.
Her husband was there.
Yeah.
So she wasn't even there. And so I was talking about her and not like talking shit about her, but, you know, a little bit. Obviously, she's my sister. She's my younger sister. I'm going to talk, you know, but we were talking.
She's also definitely listening to this.
I know. So and she loves getting mentioned on the show. But I was literally telling the new sister about how I was the good one growing up and how it was the other one who always got in trouble. She had gotten brought home by the cops a few times in like high school and college and stuff. And I never had because I never did anything. And I was like so great, you know, which is all true.
But out of the two of you, which one has an arrest record now?
That is true. I mean, if you look us both up on the county website, only one of our names shows up. Anyway, so it's saying all of that, and all that's true. But in that moment, something came over me, and not only yelled at this sheriff's deputy, but yeah, I was not polite.
No.
And so he said, you know, keep moving. And I said, and again, I did not know this was going to come out of my mouth until after it was already out. I said, this is my fucking street. And then I said, I'm on a public fucking sidewalk.
Not the best tone or choice of words to use. However, not illegal.
No. And again, I didn't mean to. It just really triggered something deep within me. One, don't like to be yelled at. And two, especially not by a stranger, and especially not by some short fucker who just looks obnoxious. Like, I don't know. Like, everything about this dude just rubbed me the wrong way. And yeah, could I have reacted better? Maybe. I guess we'll never know.
I mean, you could. You could have. You definitely could have. Is it within your capacity? No.
Do I have the physical ability?
Absolutely not.
No, as it turns out. But I would like to say, for the 5 years of shitty comments we've gotten about, like, the way I talk about cops, I mean, clearly when I, you know, when I'm in the situation, I stand 10 toes down.
I'm not sure that's a good thing, but yes.
Did you know that iron deficiency is one of the most common, yet often overlooked, nutritional gaps affecting 1 in 3 adults, especially women? I'm a lifelong vegetarian, and so getting enough iron has been a constant struggle. There are plenty of times when I tried to give blood and I couldn't because my iron was too low, especially in my 20s when my diet consisted of mostly pasta. So I have had to take iron supplements at various times in my life. So when Citerol from PermaNutra wanted to advertise with us, it was a no-brainer. It's a premium iron supplement powered by patented sucrosomial technology, which helps your body absorb 3 to 4 times more iron while avoiding the common side effects of traditional iron supplements like nausea and constipation. It's vegan and gluten-free and 100% allergen-free and free from artificial colorants. So if you feel like no matter how much you rest, you're still running on empty, you're not alone. Over 2 million people have already discovered Citerol, and it could be the support you've been looking for. So head to PharmaNutra-US.com and use code ATTWG for 10% off your first order of Citerol. That's PharmaNutra-US.com, promo code ATTWG for 10% off today. I started waiting tables at 14 and had no money management skills, so I kind of had to learn it on the fly, but we're trying to help our kids out a little bit more than that. That's why we've partnered with Acorns Early, so our kids don't have to learn money lessons the hard way. Acorns Early is the smart debit card and money app that grows kids' money skills as they grow up. You can start with the in-app chores tracker and teach your kids the value of a dollar. Then let them set up their own savings goals and start building healthy money habits early. They can spend what they've earned with their very own customizable debit card, giving them that extra sense of independence. Plus, with Acorns Early spending limits and real-time spend notifications, parents always stay in control. Our youngest son loves logging into his Acorns account and seeing how much money he has. He also loves the freedom of being able to budget his own money and spend it on the things he wants to spend it on. Ready to teach your kids the smart way to earn, save, and spend? Get your first month on us when you head to acornsearly.com/ATTWG or download the Acorns Early app. That's 1 month free when you sign up at acornsearly.com/ATTWG.
Acorns Early Card is issued by Community Federal Savings Bank, member FDIC, pursuant to license by MasterCard International. Free trial for new subscribers only. Subscription fee starting from $5 per month unless canceled. Terms apply at acorns.com/early terms.
Did you know that a single finger prick at home can give you over 180 personalized insights into how to improve your health and slow your aging? If you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that I tried the True Age and True Health test by True Diagnostic, and it showed me things I never learned from my regular physicals. True Health looks at over 105 biomarkers tied to your nutritional, metabolic, immune, and cognitive health. You'll see your vitamin levels, your nutrient balance, inflammation, gut health, and more. True Age measures 75 plus biomarkers to reveal your biological age, your pace of aging, and the age of key organ systems. It doesn't just give you a single number, it shows how your heart, brain, liver, and immune system are all aging. Together, the combo gives you a complete picture of your health today, along with personalized recommendations to improve your health and slow down aging. For me, it really inspired me to work on my cardiovascular health. It's so hard to get answers at the doctor's office, so I loved getting this report that had so much information on it. If you're serious about living healthier and longer, visit truediagnostic.com and use my code ATTWG for 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com, code ATTWG for 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Anyway, that guy pissed me off. And then, so what happened was he just kind of got huffy and stomped over to the cruiser of the deputy who had actually pulled these kids over. Now,
right. And he got huffy and walked away because, again, you hadn't done anything illegal at that point.
And so at that point, I was like, well, I'm not going anywhere. But actually, that's not even true because at that point, I really didn't have a plan. Right after I said that, then I got my mom voice on. And I didn't even remember this happening. And I didn't know that I didn't remember that this happened until I watched the body cam video with my lawyer. I bent over again and I said, don't you say a word to them, because and I did. I got very serious with these kids because at that moment I was like, this isn't a safe situation. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know why they were pulled over. I didn't know why they were on the curb. I didn't know anything. And I didn't care because that wasn't the point. They could have been completely innocent. They could have shot up a nursing home 5 minutes ago. I did not care and I didn't know. My purpose was just to remind them that we all have constitutional rights. As much as people want you to believe that we don't, we do. And you have the right to shut the fuck up. I did not exercise that right, as it turns out.
No, you definitely did not.
But I wanted to make sure that they did because I was more concerned about them. In that moment, I didn't know about the other five officers who were there, right? They weren't doing anything. I didn't know if they were good. I didn't know if they were bad. I didn't know if they were indifferent. I knew that this guy was trouble and I didn't like the vibe and I was concerned. And again, like I'm just kind of coming from like a mom standpoint at this point, you know? And so he got huffy. He walked over to the cruiser of the guy who had actually pulled these kids over. And then as that was happening, one of the kids asked me to record. So, yeah, I didn't go in recording. I didn't do anything like that. That was not my plan at all. But as soon as he asked me, I said, absolutely, I'll record. So I got my phone out. I started recording. While that deputy was gone over at the cruiser, I decided to press my luck a little because this is where I was unsure of what I was allowed to do and what I wasn't allowed to do. You know, this wasn't a crime scene. So I knew that I could walk on the sidewalk, right? I knew that I could say something, you know, just like say one thing and kind of leave, which was my plan. Like I felt confident in my ability to do that, but I didn't know if I could keep talking to them. I didn't know what the rules were around that. So I decided to press my luck a little. And I said, hey, how old are you guys? And because, again, I was worried that they were underage. And as it turns out, there are four kids, and I believe two of them were underage.
Right, yeah.
And two of them were 18. I think two were 18, like one was 17, one was 16. So they told me that, and I said, is there anybody you need me to call for you? One of the kids said, no, I've got somebody coming. I said, perfect. And then that was it. And, like, I want to point out that there were four or five other police officers around me when I was saying this.
Right.
And none of them said
anything. None of them said
me.
Anything. And those police officers that were there were the ones that were actually directly involved with the investigation that was going on.
Right.
Not the one that was standing in the street yelling at you.
Right. So they didn't say anything to me. And so I was like, okay. So after that, that's all I asked them. I didn't ask them why they got pulled over, what had happened. Like, again, I wasn't there to get into anything. At that point, my goal was just to film because the kid asked me to. And I was just there to make sure that nothing crazy happened. As it turns out, I was the crazy thing that happened. But, you know, I was just there to make sure that they were okay. So what I didn't find out at the time until after we watched the body cam footage with the attorney was that when the deputy huffed off, he went typical our town resident.
Yeah.
I was like, what does that mean?
Right. Like, what does that mean?
Like, okay. Anyway, so he said that. Then he went over to the deputy who pulled him over and was like, hey, So what's going on here? Why did you pull them over?
Right. So he didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah.
And he's yelling at you to move along.
Yeah. He didn't even know why he was there. What we found out later was that the reason there were six cop cars wasn't because these kids had done some like crazy crime or whatever. Basically, it was just a mistake with dispatch. The guy who had stopped them put in a call, but he didn't close it out or something.
He didn't respond when dispatch asked if he needed backup, essentially, if he needed additional units. And if there's no response to a do you need additional units, they call it out as an emergency, thinking, OK, if he's not responding,
then something bad,
then something bad is happening. Yeah. So that's why there were six other cop cars or however many showed up,
which is all fine. But the point is that this dude had no idea what was going on. The original deputy did not need him at all. He didn't need actually any of the people who were there. And he said that on the body cam that we watched. But he was like apologizing. He's like, hey, I didn't mean to make you guys rush out here. Like, everything's cool.
And one of the things that he said was that he didn't hear the call from dispatch because he was talking to the kids.
Right. Yeah, so that's why everybody was there. It wasn't like this is some big deal. And again, I didn't know any of that at the time. I did not care about any of that at the time. But this guy who was bothering me, Deputy McClung, I asked
you're calling him out. Okay.
I asked my lawyer if I could say his name, and he said, yeah, sure. It's all public records.
That's true.
Deputy McClung didn't know what was going on, which is fine, whatever. Like, I get why he was there now. But he was not a part of this investigation. He was the last person to arrive, because it should be mentioned, too, that everybody arrived very quickly after the call went out. And then McClung kind of rolled in like 9 minutes later from what I saw in the body cam footage.
Yeah.
So it's like, if it was an emergency, you're too fucking late, dude. But it wasn't. And so he just had no purpose there. I bring all of this up because it's important in terms of what I was charged with.
Yeah.
He comes back. I'm there filming. We go on for a minute or so, and I'm just filming. He's not actually talking to me. I'm not talking to him. None of the other officers ever talked to me or whatever. And I never said anything to them. I never came in asking what was going on. Like, again, I wasn't trying to get into the middle of anything. At one point, a few minutes into it, two of the officers were searching the car that the kids were in. So they started pulling things out and putting them on the roof of the car. And again, now I'm like, I'm videotaping this. I was taking my job very seriously. So I was like zooming in, like trying to see what they were pulling out and getting it on video, because I didn't want anyone saying that there was something in the car that wasn't actually in the car. Because again, at that point, I wasn't trusting anyone, you know? So I'm like zooming in, and I did move a little bit closer to the car, but I stayed on the sidewalk, and you know, again, I was just kind of there. He didn't like that. McClung did not enjoy the fact that I was moving closer to the car, and he yelled at me again to get back. He said, "You're too close." And I said, "What does that mean?" I'm a literal person, right? And like, I don't know what too close means. He didn't tell me where I could be, where I shouldn't be. He just said, "You're too close." I said, "Too close to what?" He said, "You're too close to what we've got going on here."
Right. And what does that mean?
I don't know what that means. I couldn't eloquently express myself in that moment. Because I was really mad. But I knew that I wasn't doing anything wrong, right?
Right.
And so what it came out as was just me basically repeating, like, I'm on a public fucking sidewalk, like, over and over again. I'm like, I live on this street, and you know, whatever. Because at one point he was just like, you know, you can go across the street. And I was like, I live on this street. and the thing is that, like, I was where I could be that allowed me to film, but also not be in the middle of it, right? Because I was on the sidewalk. Anywhere else I could go would be in somebody's lawn, and I wasn't going to let them get me for being on private property. The other option was across the street, but there were so many cop cars that I wouldn't have been able to see anything. The other option would have been in the street, but as I mentioned, it's a really busy street, and that was dangerous. I wasn't just going to go stand in the middle of the damn street. There's nowhere else that I could go where I could have also filmed, which is, again, my First Amendment right. And so that's why I was where I was.
It's also important to note here that while he is yelling at you, so, okay, there's a time period where you're just filming, like you said.
Yeah.
He's back at the cruiser.
Yeah. And this is on, because I was filming, I obviously have the video. Yeah. It's like a minute or so of silence.
Yes. And that's what I was getting at. There was silence, but there were deputy sheriffs and police officers that were closer to you than he was.
Yes.
And none of them had a problem. None of them said anything to you. There was no issue with you filming. There was no issue with where you were standing on the sidewalk, how close you were.
Right.
And they were closer to you than he was.
Right. Yeah. And then none of them
came from the street, which was farther away than any of the other officers that were involved.
Mm-hmm.
And he came over from the street and got involved.
Yeah. Like, for no reason. Like, literally, he was just there to start shit. Like, he wasn't helping anybody or anything. He was just escalating a situation that didn't need to be escalated. As it turns out, this was a pretty basic traffic stop. Like, literally, not much was going on. Like, there weren't weapons. You know what I mean? Like, they hadn't just shot up a nursing home. Like, nothing crazy was happening. It wasn't a nice thing, which I was concerned about when I went in, you know, and of course I didn't find all of this out till later, but like it turned out to not be really anything. But he chose to take a routine traffic stop and escalate it to the point where after 4 minutes, I got thrown into the back of a police car.
All right. So wait, let's finish out what actually happened and then we can get into more.
The actual arrest, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. So basically he was yelling at me. He was like, you're getting too close. You're getting too close. And then he said something along the lines of, I'm going to give you 6 seconds to get back. And if you don't get back, you're going to jail. But I didn't know what get back meant. Like get back where? Like he never gave me any actual instructions that made sense to me. He never said, hey, get back 15 feet, go by that tree. Like he never gave me anything that I felt I could actually act on in a specific way. He just said vague things like you're too close, get back, but like didn't tell me where I could be. And, you know, again, I'm just like literal and like I need better instructions than that. I was getting frustrated too. Right. Because like I wasn't doing anything wrong. He wasn't giving me clear instructions. And then that just, you know, escalated into me yelling back. And then when he said that he was going to throw me in jail, I laughed at him. And I said, for what? And, you know, men don't like to get laughed at, especially by someone who's taller than them.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you brought that up. For those of you listening, Kona is 5'6".
Not that tall.
And yes, this deputy is shorter, even in his boots.
Right, because when you wear your boots, you get tall. Like, those things add some height.
They do.
And I was in my sandals, I just want to point out.
Yeah.
Anyway, he didn't like it. Basically, he didn't like me. You know, as it turns out, good thing I wasn't single because I don't think it's a love match.
Jesus.
I laughed at him. I was like, for what? And, you know, he was just like, you're too close to what we got going on, blah, blah, blah. I'll actually play the clip because this is, I did get my actual arrest on video.
Yeah, on your cell phone.
On my cell phone. Right. So I can actually play the end of this when he was arresting me. Okay. I live on this street.
That's great. I don't care.
I thought so, too.
Go step over there.
Why?
Because I'm ordering you to.
For what reason?
You got about 5 seconds to step over there. You're going to jail.
I'm on a public sidewalk. Fine. All right. I'm getting arrested.
Put your hands behind your back. Stop.
I'm not doing anything.
Don't ask me to not listen to
you. No, I don't have to fucking listen to you. And he said, all right, you're going to jail. And he grabbed me, like violently grabbed me and like spun me around. And that's when I started laughing. And that coincidentally is when you pulled up.
Right.
And so in the video, you hear me going, I'm getting arrested. And I was talking to you.
Yeah.
Because you had just pulled up in our driveway two houses down. and you are very confused.
Yeah. So from my perspective, at this point, I'm coming back from taking one of our kids to drum lessons. And we drive through the all of these police cars on the street. And our son was like, what's going on? And I was like, I don't know. Looks like something serious, whatever. Pull up in front of the house. And your mom is standing in the yard. And I'm like,
yeah, I had no idea she was there the entire time.
Yeah. She's standing in the yard. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I get out and she's like kind of freaking out and kind of stumbles through telling me that you're down there talking to the cops. And I'm like, fuck. Mm-hmm. Never a good idea for Kona to talk to cops. So so I immediately start walking down the sidewalk and then I realize that that our son is following us. So I turn to him and I say, get back in the house. And he said, no, I want to see what's going on. And I said, get the fuck back in the house. I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops because it's summer.
Yeah.
I pull
and
my...
we were just hanging out.
Yeah. And I'm walking down and that's when he turns you around. You see me. You scream, I'm getting arrested. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? So I pull my creds out and start showing my badge. And you got whisked away across the street very quickly.
Yeah.
I walk into the scene showing my badge, which is a completely different badge than any local PD or county sheriffs have here. I'm federal, clearly off-duty police officer of some sort, but
of
not
some sort,
but
yeah.
not my police, you know, whatever. And all I'm getting from the PD that are looking at me is head nods like, hey, what's up? I walk right through the scene closer to the kids than
I ever
you
was.
Were.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying anything to me. I was about to go across the street, and then the one deputy was looked over at me, and instead of giving me a head nod, he goes, hey, what's up? And I was like, you guys just arrested my wife. To which he dropped his head and said, ah, shit.
I wish we would have gotten his body cam
footage. Oh, I know. That would have been great.
I know. I'm so sad we didn't get to see that.
So he's like, who are you with? I tell him who I'm with. But he's like, okay, let me go talk to the guy. He disappears. He comes back and he says, there's nothing I can do at this point. He already called it in, which means you're going to jail.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, well, can I go, at least can I go over and talk to her? And he's like, let me go over and ask again.
Mm-hmm.
He disappears. He comes back. Yeah, okay. Come on, we can go talk to her.
Right. And I heard that exchange because by that time I was in the back of the car and Deputy McClung was in the driver's seat. This deputy came to the window and asked him, you know, he's like, hey, her husband's a federal officer. Can he come over and talk to her? He was just like, I'll give him that professional courtesy, but that's it.
Which also, like, fuck you, dude. Like, the sheer fucking arrogance of this guy throughout this entire process drove me nuts. Now,
drove you nuts. It got me put in jail.
Obviously. Now, I had no interaction with him. All of the arrogance and all of the things that he did wrong in this situation, I found out later through your cell phone footage and the body cam footage that we watched with your lawyer later.
Right. And the marks on me, which we'll get to.
We'll get to, yeah.
Oh, and just because I do think it's kind of funny, and it just shows, like, listen, if being a bitch was a crime... I was clearly guilty. I admit it. Luckily for me, it's not. And that's not what I got arrested for. But here is what happened after he grabbed me, handcuffed me, dragged me across the street to his cruiser.
All I had to do was step away from what
I was on a
that is all.
Sidewalk.
Okay. It's not my fault.
Sidewalk.
You're hard headed and don't want to listen.
You're right. It's not your fault. But you know what?
That thing in your pocket's going to hurt.
I have my phone.
You have your phone?
Perfect.
So, yes, the clip that I just played was when he said it wasn't his fault that I'm a hard-headed woman.
And for those of you listening, if anybody is wondering, it is extremely draining and difficult to argue with Kona. If you didn't get that from that clip, you should know it is so difficult to argue with her.
No, and I'm really sad I didn't get this because he, at that point, he took my phone out of my pocket and turned the recording off. So what he didn't get afterwards, which I saw in the body cam footage, and I'm so sad I don't have this. He got his notebook out and he was asking me my name. And so he got his notebook out. He's like, what's your name? And I was like, it's Kona Gallagher, K-O-N. And he's like, can you wait a second? Because he was like still trying to get his paper. I was like, I don't know. How long is it going to take you?
Once again, if being a bitch was a crime.
You know, he eventually got his notebook out and eventually wrote down my name, like whatever. Anyway, but then he put me in the back and that's when you came over. And the thing is that, yeah, I was not great, but it was because of him. And that's the point that I was making the entire time, is that I was matching energy. He approached me aggressively.
Right.
And I responded aggressively.
Yeah.
And for all the people, and I've had a couple people in my life say this, and it really upsets me, that says, oh, well, you should have just been polite. You should have just done what he said. You should have done this. You should have done that. Fuck that. No. Because one, I wasn't on duty. I was not working at that time. And he was. And when he goes to work, and when he puts on that uniform, and when he puts on those boots that, you know, I'm sure he loves, makes him an inch and a half taller, he is bound by a code. He is bound by a literal written document called general orders that talk about how you're supposed to interact with the public, among other things. I mean, this is literally like your policy manual for the sheriffs, right? And one of the things that it covers, which I know because I did all of my research, because obviously you all know I like research, it talks about how you're supposed to act and how you're supposed to treat the general public. And he didn't do any of that. And in Virginia, it has become mandated that officers take even more de-escalation training than they were previously required to. And I don't know if he's taken de-escalation training. I don't know what training he's taken and what he hasn't. But obviously, it didn't fucking stick.
From a training standpoint, again, if any of our listeners are law enforcement and or like to complain about how we talk shit on cops, I can understand in a high threat, high stress level situation where an officer can lose their composure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Completely understandable. And, like, you know, if he had just been involved in like a fucking shooting or something like that, or had wrestled somebody to the ground,
right,
who was resisting.
Right, and then like this asshole comes and then like, you're doing kids. This. I can understand when he'd be like, get the fuck back.
Yes. But in this situation where nobody was doing anything, there was no stress, he wasn't involved in the situation at all, he then escalated the situation with you out of nowhere and unnecessarily.
Right.
It's directly against any de-escalation training that I've received. I'm sure, I can't imagine that the de-escalation training varies much from one agency to the next.
Well, I mean, I know that even if it varies, the general point is to not escalate.
Yes. Given the scenario, what I've seen on all of the body cam footage, your cell phone footage, knowing the background, if he really did think that you were too close, quote unquote, too close.
Yeah.
What he should have done was come up and say, hey, you're standing a little bit too close to an investigation, or he can, you know, let's use his words, to what we've got going on.
Yeah.
Could you just take a couple of steps back on the sidewalk over here? Because if something breaks bad behind me, I don't want you to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
How would you have reacted to that?
Completely differently. Yeah.
Versus, keep moving!
Yeah.
Or whatever he said.
Yeah, right. The reason why, up to this point, one of the reasons that I had never had a negative interaction with the police officers, because I'd never had anybody who was anything but just like normal and just respectful and like whatever. You know, even when I've gotten like pulled over and I was obviously speeding or, you know, doing whatever, I've never been like, hey, dickhead.
Yeah, because they don't approach you that way.
No, they're like, hey, you know, you're going kind of fast. It's like, oh, shit. Yeah, I was. Sorry.
This guy, before you even showed up, there was a cyclist,
mm-hmm.
or not a cyclist, somebody on a bike,
yeah.
On a bike, came by, said something to one of the kids, and he had the same reaction. Keep moving. And he started yelling at him. And then you show up and keep moving. He is literally treating everybody other than a police officer that he interacts with as a fucking enemy combatant.
Yeah.
As though this traffic stop was a war zone. It's completely fucking absurd. And as we found out, he's been on the job 13 years. Well, guess what? I've been on 21 years. And yes, I don't do traffic stops, but you know what? I've been in some pretty high stress level situations.
Right.
And I've never reacted like that. I've been in situations where I've been fighting multiple people and I've arrested four people in one instance, yes, with the help of others, during an almost riot situation that went on for hours. And at the end of the day, when I was trying to get people to move back, I approached a protester who was fighting and I said, hey, look, it's been a long day for both of us. I don't want to lock you up. Can you just move over to this location and everything will be fine? And he looked at me and he stuck out his hand and I shook his hand and he walked down to that location.
Yeah.
And that was after hours and hours and hours of high stress, fighting people and locking them up. This guy was on scene for 4 minutes.
4 minutes. Yeah. So
where there was no stress.
It felt like 20.
No violence.
To me. But yeah, we found out that from the time I arrived to the time I got arrested, it was like 4 minutes.
Right.
Four minutes.
No stress, no violence. He escalated it.
Mm-hmm.
Completely absurd.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. Even better, you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code ATTWG. If you're like me, then you have different family members who have different ailments, and I've recommended Mood to all of them. I legitimately, before recording this, I told my mom about Mood, and she's going to make her first order. Because they have gummies for all sorts of things, for pain relief, for sleeping, for just improving your mood. Their gummies are specially blended and each one feels different. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out in 15 minutes flat with no hangovers, no grogginess, and I wake up feeling amazing. And each gummy is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but, as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code ATTWG. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code ATTWG at checkout to save 20% on your first order. Have you ever noticed how many unnecessary chemicals are in your cleaning products? When I started looking into what I was actually using around my home, I realized that my laundry detergent was one of the worst offenders. So many popular brands are packed with the harsh chemicals that can irritate your skin, mess up your hormones, and cause allergic reactions. But I don't want all of that, so I switched to EarthBreeze. Their detergent sheets are free from harsh chemicals like optical brighteners, dyes, parabens, phosphates, and preservatives. Plus, they don't come in those heavy plastic jugs. It's no mess and no mystery ingredients. Just a lightweight, pre-measured sheet that dissolves in the wash and gets the job done. And yes, your clothes still come out clean, fresh, and soft. So if you're looking for a powerful clean without harsh chemicals, try EarthBreeze. It's easy to switch. And if you're not completely satisfied, they have an amazing money-back guarantee. Right now, you can try EarthBreeze for up to 40% off plus four free gifts at earthbreeze.com/ATTWG. That's earthbreeze.com/ATTWG for 40% off plus four free gifts. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth, the supplement that helps women maintain optimal hormone levels with over 50,000 glowing reviews from women worldwide and 98% saying they'd recommend it to friends and family. Now, they're taking those results even further by pairing it with a prebiotic collagen protein, which helps restore gut lining integrity, promoting overall hormonal balance. It helps to relieve occasional bloating and gas, reduce sugar cravings, support sustainable weight management, and boost energy. I know I'm not the only one who's struggled with occasional digestive issues and brain fog, but Happy Mammoth is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. Right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and hormone harmony risk-free and get 15% off your first order with code ATTWG at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code ATTWG for 15% off today. And so when you and the other deputy got over to the car and you were talking to me, and I was like, hey, things got weird. But the other deputy was, again, just perfectly normal and polite and like was just talking to me like a normal fucking person. Yeah,
all he said was, hey, I don't know what was going on. Tensions got high, obviously.
Yeah.
Here's what you can expect.
Yeah.
And he told you what you can expect. Okay, cool. And it was great.
And it was fine. And, you know, I didn't have a problem with him. And so I was like joking around with him because, you know, I mentioned that my college boyfriend, who I literally haven't seen or talked to in like 20 years, is a sheriff's deputy. And I was like, hey, do you know this guy? And he's like, oh, yeah, I know him pretty well. I was like, he's my college boyfriend. You should tell him about this. He'll think it's hilarious. Because, you know, like my normal response, honestly, to like stressful situations or to tense situations is to make a joke.
Yeah. Humor.
It's not to yell.
Right.
This guy just really triggered something in me that doesn't normally come out unless I'm like really, really pushed or I have a good reason. And so once I had somebody who was just treating me like a normal person, then, you know, my natural like instinct came and I was just like joking around and being like, hey, this is like a fucking weird situation that I found myself in.
Yeah.
Even after, you know, you guys left and, you know, the guy was like, yeah, you're going to have to go to jail. I was like, all right, cool, whatever. And I was just sitting back there and then McClung was just like normal to me and was just like, hey, you know, because the window was down because you guys were talking to me. So as we were driving to the jail, he was like, do you want the window up? Do you want it down? I was like, oh, down is fine. Like he was being normal. So I was being normal to him.
Right.
And that's, you know, the whole point is that I was just kind of responding to the energy. And so once he was just a normal fucking person, I was just a normal person. And so that, you know, ended up happening. He took me to the jail. I never got past the lobby, which I'm so pissed about because I still had to pay for a lawyer. I still had to go through all this. I still had to go to court twice. And I didn't even get a mugshot for a Christmas card.
Yeah, which was the first question out of both of our teenagers' yes. mouths was, oh, yo, can we get a copy of the mugshot?
Yeah, they were like definitely texting their friends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And like everybody wanted copies of the mugshot. I was like, I didn't get one.
Yeah.
You know, like very what lame. The fuck? Very lame. Very, very lame. Didn't make it past the lobby.
I don't think they even fingerprinted you.
No, they right? didn't fingerprint me. I got nothing. And, you know, whatever. Like I've been fingerprinted before, but I mean, for normal reasons, like I was a substitute teacher and, you know, you get fingerprinted. But like, I was so irritated by the entire situation. So anyway, so I got there. I saw the magistrate. He was just like, hey, here's your court date, whatever. Bye. And then he let me go. And then I got home. When I got home and you and I were talking and I was kind of debriefing you about everything that happened and I showed you the video that I had taken and kind of gave you a little bit more context than you had, that's when you got angry. And I wasn't really afraid that you were going to be angry with me because, again, as you know, I'm a very self-righteous person. So, like, I knew I didn't do anything wrong. And if you were going to get mad at me, then you were wrong. And I was not concerned about that. But what I actually wasn't expecting was how angry you got with the deputy, with McClung. And I came home with deep marks on my wrists from the handcuffs. And I've never been handcuffed before. And so I just thought that's normal, you know, like I didn't know that that was not what was supposed to happen. And so you looked at my wrists, which were bad.
Yeah. I was a defensive tactics instructor for 15 years. What that means is that I taught police officers not only how to defend themselves in a fight, but to use everything on their belt. Short of a gun. I taught handcuffing, OC spray, collapsible baton, open hand defense techniques. Handcuffs are not meant to be comfortable. However, they are not meant to be cinched down so much that you lose circulation to your hands, or that there's bruising, or that it causes deep indentations into your skin.
All three of which happened to me.
Yes. There is a specific way you are supposed to handcuff somebody so that that doesn't happen. There's also what is called a double lock on the handcuffs. What that means is how a handcuff works is you one side is two bars and the other side is a single bar. The single bar will slide through and latch onto teeth, essentially, mm-hmm. that lock the handcuff in place. There's a mechanism on the outside of the handcuffs, depending on the brand of handcuffs, as far as where it goes. I know this was Peerless handcuffs. I'm very familiar with them, so it is on the outside. There's a button on the outside. You push, and it stops that single bar from continuing to ratchet down. What that does, again, that doesn't move. Handcuffs are set in place. There's a way to measure on the outside of the wrist to give some space so that none of that occurs. The bruising, the loss of circulation, the deep indentations into the skin. So none of that happens. You do that when the situation is no longer violent. So like, throw the handcuffs on as fast as you can at first. Yes.
Right.
Especially if you're fighting.
Yes, exactly. Right. Especially if you've got a violent suspect, like you don't have time to like do all the little
things,
right? You're just trying to restrain the person right. and get them to stop.
But at some point, they're going to stop.
Right. And I never started, to be clear.
That's also true. But at some point, you readjust the handcuffs and you place them on properly. He didn't. Your hand position was completely wrong. He didn't double lock the cuffs. He sat you in the back of his cruiser where that single bar continued to ratchet down.
Yes.
And for those of you that really want to dig into this, if anybody wants any research, there is a Supreme Court case that outlines specifically that handcuffs need to be double locked because there was a surgeon who got arrested. The police officer that handcuffed him, didn't double lock the cuffs, sat him in the back of the car for a prolonged period of time. It was cinched down and he lost circulation and he actually had to have either fingers removed or his hand removed.
Right. And he was a surgeon, so that obviously ruined his entire career and life.
Right. So it went before the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court was like, oh no, this is standard procedure from now on across the board for any law enforcement.
Right. And because of that, it is part of the general order. And again, I did my research. It's General Order 402.1, Section D, Item 3, that very clearly states that all cuffs need to be double locked after an arrest. And he did not. He did not until we got to the jail. And then he got me out of the car, took his flashlight, searched the back of the car, because the other thing he didn't do was search me before he put me into his vehicle, which is a violation of General Order 402.1, Section C, Item 1, and Section D, Item 1. He checked to make sure I didn't have any, you know, drugs or weapons or like whatever that I had put in the car. And then he
said, to be fair, he would have done that check regardless.
For sure.
But he definitely needed to double check because he didn't search you.
Correct. And then he got me out. He's like, oh, let me check your cuffs. And then he checked my cuffs and I didn't know what he was doing at the time. And it wasn't until I got home and I was describing it to you that you were like, what the fuck? That's when he double locked your cuffs.
Yeah, it's a little late at that point.
Yeah.
He also didn't loosen them.
He didn't loosen them.
He just double locked
them. So then I was in the jail in the lobby for like another however long I was there, like, and my arms hurt. And listen, I played roller derby for years, so I have a bad shoulder. And so just the way he had me cuffed and like the position that I was in for that long was really, really hurting my shoulder, too. But I didn't say anything because I had the impression, I don't know if this is right or wrong, I'm just saying this is the impression that I had at the time, that everything that he had been doing was with the end goal of causing me pain. I got a feeling he would get off on that. So I didn't want to give him the satisfaction of telling him that he was hurting my shoulder.
Well, I mean, I can't speak to...
I know. I'm just saying, and again, I'm not saying that's a fact. I'm just saying that was my perception at the time.
Yeah. So the hand placement, he had your hands positioned the wrong way.
Yeah. Which again, I didn't know. I mean...
Right.
Yeah. And you only found out because of the body cam footage.
Right. So the way your hands were positioned, plus the tightness of the cuffs, hand position was causing you strain in your shoulders.
Mm.
And then obviously the tightness of the cuffs was causing you pain in your hands.
Yeah.
Being handcuffed, again, I'll say it, it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable for your shoulders, not comfortable for your wrists or anything like that. But if you are handcuffed properly, and I know this from being a role player in training for years, you can sit there for hours and hours and hours and be okay. It's not comfortable, but you're not in pain. And I don't have great shoulders either.
Yeah. And I was in pain the entire time from the moment he put the handcuffs on to the moment he took them off, which, you know, luckily was probably only an hour, if even. It was, again, because I didn't make it past the lobby of the jail because I didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't a long time, but I was in pain the entire time. But I didn't know that that was abnormal.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
So I just showed you physically the difference between having your palms together behind your back.
Which is how I was.
Right. Versus having your knuckles together behind your back.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, like, when you told me, okay, put your hands behind your back, palms together, which, again, isn't what he told me. He just yanked me around, right. And that's just how my hands were. But when you told me to do that, like, my shoulders instantly hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you turned your hands around and your knuckles were together.
Yeah. So palms out.
Right.
Yeah. Palms out instead of palms together.
Right.
And it made a huge difference.
Basic police academy stuff. When you're giving commands to get into a handcuff position.
Yeah.
Knuckles together, thumbs up.
Yeah. Which is interesting because, again, he didn't say
no, he didn't do any of it.
And also, you know, in the video clip that you guys heard, he yelled at me. He's like, put your hands behind your back. Like, he said that as he was grabbing my wrists as they were behind my back and he was putting the cuffs on. Like, my hands were behind my back.
Right.
He was, like, so close to the typical, like, stop resisting
well, yeah,
to a person who wasn't fucking resisting. Right.
And that's where I was going. It's like, you know, again, this goes with his whole temperament of escalating and, like, there was no need for him to put hands on you.
Right.
You hadn't been violent, like,
or even remotely aggressive other than verbally.
Sure.
Which I'll stipulate.
Sure. But he never gave you an opportunity to comply with his commands because he didn't give you any commands before he started getting physical.
Right. And that's what you said. You said, you told me, you know, this is what you told me the night that I got home, is that the way he should have cuffed me was to, like, tell me what to do, basically. So I'll let you.
Yeah. I mean, like, why?
So, like, what would you have said, basically, is what I'm asking. So if you decided, if you're in his position, first of all, you wouldn't have even gotten there because I wasn't doing anything wrong. But if you did decide you had to arrest me and I, again, wasn't being violent, wasn't being combative, how should that have gone?
I would have given you the opportunity. I would have said, okay, you're under arrest. Turn around, put your hands behind your back, knuckles together, thumbs up.
Yeah.
If you didn't comply.
Then it's a different story.
Then, yes, then you get physical.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be, like, insanely physical, but then I go hands on and I put you in that position.
Yeah.
But he never gave you the opportunity.
No. And again, we had that clip. That is literally the clip that I played, which is you have 5 seconds, you know, or I'm going to arrest you. And I was like, for what? And he's just like, all right, all right. And then, you know, just grabbed me and whatever.
Right. And, you know, there's a time and place where aggressiveness to get somebody into handcuffs is needed. Nothing was going on. There like nothing was so compelling that if he didn't get you in cuffs right in that moment, that evidence was going to be lost.
Shit was gonna happen.
That somebody was gonna pull a gun or any of that. Like, if his aggressiveness was because he thought for some fucked up weird reason that you had a weapon on you, then he didn't search you.
No, and that's the thing. So, like, you brought up already that he'd been on the job for 13 years. And the reason why we know that is because he said it.
Mm-hmm. When he was trying to figure out what to charge
me with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he gets me to the freaking jail. I'm still handcuffed. I'm still in a lot of pain because, as you mentioned, didn't handcuff me correctly. It hurt like hell, but I wasn't going to tell him that. So I'm sitting on the bench and he's at the little desk, tippity typing away. And another deputy comes and then he's just like, you know, like, oh, yeah, I'm like, because I couldn't hear everything that they were saying, but I could hear some of what they were saying. And part of what they were saying, which again is backed up by the body cam footage that I was eventually able to see, I arrested her for hindering, basically, is the charge that I got, right?
Well, no, that's what the charge ended up being.
Right. So I don't know what he said. He might have said obstruction. I can't remember.
It was obstruction.
Yeah, what he said at first.
Because that was also what was told to me on the scene.
Oh,
was
obstruction.
That you were arrested for obstruction.
Right.
What the fuck you were obstructing, I don't know.
Nobody knows. So he got this other deputy and they're talking. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, we were doing whatever. I don't know what he said. But what I do remember him saying was like, she kept saying she was on a public sidewalk, but that doesn't matter. But what do I know? I've only been doing this job for 13 years.
Right.
And I was like, well, you fucking suck at it, dude. Like, listen, you know. One of my negative qualities is that I don't have a lot of stick-to-itiveness, and so I've never done anything for 13 years. But, like, if I did, I would hope that I'd be a little bit fucking better at it.
I'm sure some people listening would probably say, oh, well, yeah, it's not obstruction, but they could have gotten you for crossing a police line, right?
Except there wasn't one.
Well, so to that, I will say, a police line can be one single officer.
Sure. Yeah.
However,
it doesn't have to be a physical, like, yellow tape police line.
However, it would require the police officer to say, you cannot go past me.
Right. Which nobody said.
Right. He was saying, you're too close. Get back. Too close to what? This is not.
Get back where?
Get back where? This is not a violent situation.
Yeah.
This isn't the body cam footage where there's a physical altercation where a police officer is saying, get back.
Mm-hmm.
He was just saying, you're too close to what we got going on here, which, again, no crime had taken place. There was an investigation going on the curb of the street. At no point did they close the public sidewalk. So you were perfectly within your rights to be standing where you were doing
especially
what you were doing.
Because ironically and hilariously, the four kids got to leave.
Yes.
They did get arrested.
You were the only one that got arrested.
I was the only one who got arrested in the whole situation. So as I was in the back of the cop car, which was across the street. So basically, you know, I don't really want to get into like what the actual traffic stop was and what these kids may or may not have done, because that's literally
matter.
Beside the point. Yeah. But whoever was driving was not allowed to drive the car home. So they had to call somebody to drive the car and drive them away. So that person got there when I was in the back of the cop car and they drove the car. The kids got into the car. They were all driving away and they were pulling away as I was in the back of the cop car and I couldn't wave at them. But, you know, I did a little like head nod and they did a little head nod. And I don't know who they were. They don't know who I am. And I'm sure at this point, they're just like, yeah, I don't know. That crazy white
that crazy
lady.
That crazy white lady got arrested for nothing.
But yeah, like that is the funny part. I was the only person arrested.
Ultimately, getting back to him being on the job for 13 years, after 13 years of being on the streets, quote unquote, on patrol, you would think that he would have a better understanding of the law. Just because a police officer starts yelling and barking orders does not mean that you get to arrest people for not listening to you.
That's a really good point, because I do want to bring that up, because in the clip that I played as I was getting arrested, one of the last things I said was, I don't have to fucking listen to you. And I didn't mean that as like a general, I don't need to listen to police statement. I just meant that he wasn't saying anything that made sense. Like, he wasn't giving me actual commands. He wasn't like,
there wasn't substance to what he was saying.
Right. And so again, going back to what you're saying, it's like if he had said, hey, I just need you to stand over here, just stay back this far. You can still film. You can still do whatever you want. I just need you to be over here so that we can do our thing. I'd have been like, okay, whatever. In that case, I'd be like, I don't have to fucking listen to you. But like, he was just barking random shit at me.
Right.
Just because you're fucking yelling at me doesn't mean that what you're saying is right.
Right. And I think that's where some, the bad apples of law enforcement, get confused.
Yeah.
Because just because you're on the scene and you're giving commands does not mean that people have to listen to.
Right.
Now, obviously, if they're breaking the law or if it's a public safety issue or something like that, sure, that's understandable. But you just not liking somebody being around an investigation that's happening, tough fucking shit, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, grow thicker skin. Understand the laws. Understand the Constitution. How about that? Let's start with that. Understand the Constitution. Understand that people have rights to do things that may make you as a police officer uncomfortable. It is what it is. Learn to deal with it.
Right. And it's so interesting because being married to a police officer and knowing a bunch of your colleagues, you know, coworkers and things like that, it's like it's a couple of different perspectives. And one I've learned, it's not some like mythical thing. In a lot of ways, in most ways, it's just another job.
Yes.
And it just sucks in the way everybody's job sucks. And like you have daily annoyances in the way that everybody else has daily annoyances. And it's just like you go in and you're just trying to like get done with your shift and get home. And it's like, whatever, right? In that regard, like I don't feel an intrinsic need to make an officer's life more difficult because I get that like you're just trying to get through your shift and whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're also just people and you're not infallible.
Absolutely. And I'll take it even a step further that police officers and uniformed police officers in general, it's even a little bit more than just like, oh, I hate my job. Like, you know, going into it that your job is going to be difficult merely by putting the badge on.
Yeah.
The uniform on, you know that people don't like you, but that doesn't mean that you should respond to that or to anybody in an aggressive way and match their hatred for you, because that exacerbates the already tense situation.
And that's the thing that was so annoying, because I didn't come in like that. I came in with suspicion because I don't trust cops in general.
Sure, but
I didn't come in aggressively, but I aggressive when he became aggressive with
right.
me.
Right, you met his aggression.
Yeah.
That's
and
like that is my
I've
point,
never,
though.
Exactly, because I've never, ever done that with another police officer in any other situation.
Right. For the police officer, like, instead of going into it being angry that the public doesn't like you.
Yeah.
Accept it as reality and deal with it and interact with the public and treat them as human beings. Just, you're a human, they're a human. We're trying to get through this. They are doing something, we are doing something. Ultimately, that's all it is.
Yeah.
The de-escalation training is just like, okay, yeah.
Be a human.
Yeah, like,
remember that you're a fucking person, they're a person.
Turn your cop voice off.
Yeah.
There's a time and place for a cop voice and to be aggressive.
Yeah.
But there's also a time to turn it off and just be a human being. And you would be amazed at the amount of compliance you will get out of that.
I am a 44-year-old mom who was there in sandals, who was just trying to check on some kids.
Get back. You're too close. Ah! Get back.
Like, what really, does that mean? Dude?
Get back. Like, I'm going to give you 5 seconds.
Yeah. Like, the thing, I was like, oh, my God. If this is how you are in this completely no stakes situation.
I mean, I hope that.
God for fucking bid. Somebody is actually violent or like has a gun or like there's some sort of life threatening situation. Like, what are you going to do? Just start shooting? Like, I mean, honestly, you obviously can't deal with stress or like life or people or anything that should be a part of your job.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. Like, I'm concerned that he is out there with a gun.
I feel for the guys that he's backing up.
Yeah.
Because what that says to me is that he has a complete lack of confidence in his own abilities.
Hmm. Interesting.
So to match his lack of confidence is his over-aggression. I've seen that from people. I mean, you know, I train, like I said, I have trained defensive tactics for 15 years, and you'll be able to identify people that, like, they like some aspects of being a cop, but they're not super comfortable in stressful or confrontational situations. Mm. So then they become overly aggressive when it's not needed.
Oh. So, yeah. So getting back to that conversation that he was having with the deputy, where he's like, well, what do I know? I've only been on for 13 years. He was trying to figure out what they were going to charge me with because 13 years, couldn't fucking figure it out.
13 years, couldn't figure out what law you broke.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know, something. They, like, his idea, like, his feeling, you know, that he had, because he didn't have facts, he just had, like, feelings.
Yeah.
Was just, like, obstruction. But he was like, okay, but what actually is that? What do I actually write in this report? You know, whatever. And so he asked the other deputy, and he's like, and all I heard, and again, I just didn't get context for this until later, was I heard the other deputy say, well, I've gotten 2 convictions from doing this.
Yeah.
And what they were talking about was a county statute for hindering. This is county statute 654.09. Resisting or hindering deputy sheriffs. And the statute reads in full, no person shall resist, hinder, or obstruct any deputy sheriff in making an arrest, in serving a warrant, order, notice, or process, or in the performance or discharge of any of his or her duties. Now, that is short and vague.
Yeah.
Intentionally so.
Yes.
Now, my argument that I've been making since the beginning and that I made to my lawyer when I first called him on the phone and I was like, okay, here's the story, was that the deputy who arrested me didn't actually have a job there. He wasn't a part of the investigation. He wasn't making arrests. He didn't have an actual function there.
Right.
And I didn't even realize how much of a function he didn't have there.
Until later.
Until after I saw the body cam footage and I realized he didn't even know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
Like, because I didn't know that he arrived 9 minutes after everyone else did. I didn't know that he was only there because of a mistake with dispatch. Like, I didn't know the context, but I could see with my fucking eyeballs that he wasn't doing anything.
Right.
And I could also see with my eyeballs that there were other officers who were doing things.
And were closer to you.
Yeah. Who were talking to the kids, who were running their information through the computer, who were searching their car, who didn't give a fuck about me.
Right. In particular, the one who was standing in between you and the kids.
Yeah.
Who was the only Spanish-speaking officer.
Yeah.
And he was very close to you,
mm-hmm.
and didn't say a fucking word to you.
Never.
Had no care in the fucking world that you were there.
Yeah.
He was putting himself in between you and the kids, I think, professionally.
Yeah.
As that barrier in case something did break bad.
Right. And so me being cynical, I was like, oh, he's there because he's trying to block my view.
No.
But no. But once you said that, I was like, okay, yeah, right. That's probably right. Because he was cool. Like, he didn't do anything. So I don't think he was trying to be an asshole or anything like that. But you're right. Like, everybody who was actually doing something literally did not care about me at all. Because I wasn't doing anything.
Nothing illegal.
Yeah. I mean, I was doing a lot. Maybe too much. As it turns out. The human body is fascinating, but did you know that scientists are now saying that your gut is the cornerstone of your health? It's not just about digestion. The gut affects everything from your energy levels and mood to weight management and even longevity. Most gut supplements contain probiotics or maybe probiotics and prebiotics, but Bioma contains all 3 essential ingredients that your gut needs: prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotics. And now you can visit gobioma.com/ATTWG today for an extra 15% off your order. That's GOBIOMA.com/ATTWG and get an extra 15% off. Each ingredient in Bioma is science-backed and third-party tested. You just need 2 capsules before breakfast to take the guesswork out of feeling your best. Go visit gobioma.com/ATTWG today for an extra 15% off your order. That's GOBIOMA.com/ATTWG to get an extra 15% off.
You weren't obstructing justice. You weren't hindering an investigation.
I wasn't.
You weren't impeding any of the officers from doing their job.
Yeah.
The deputy sheriff coming over and saying, you're too close. That's not impeding an investigation. It's not hindering
him from doing his job. And again, he's just a guy. Like, yes, he has a badge, but that doesn't make you infallible.
Right.
Like, at the end of the day, he was a fucking dude saying nonsense to me that didn't make sense.
Right.
And I don't react well.
Yeah, and
that.
You asked for clarification, probably not in the nicest way.
No.
But
yeah,
you don't need to be nice.
I don't need to be nice.
You said it before. He's the one on the job. It's his job. And he didn't act professional. And he didn't explain what he wanted you to do.
Yeah. So let's, all right. So now we're going to get into like the crux of the legal issue. So we've already kind of talked about the things that he did wrong as an officer and why we have filed a formal complaint against him with the sheriff's department. Now, do I think the formal complaint is going to do anything?
Absolutely
probably
not.
But
it needs to be on file.
It does need to be on record. And what I will say is that my lawyer did say, and this is depressing, but I believe him, which is that like he has seen police officers in general get into more trouble for breaking policy than for like actually violating somebody's constitutional rights.
Right.
And I have a couple of very clear instances in which he broke policy. So this happened in June. I ended up having to go to court in August and I was ready. Ethan took the day off work and we were there. I have like 6 pages of typed notes with timestamps. And as you heard, you know, the actual like codes and everything, right? We got there and it took forever for them to kind of get to us and they didn't get to us. But what they did get to was somebody else who had been arrested under the very same charge.
This county hindering charge.
And so we stayed in the courtroom and I watched that trial. Basically, what that was a man who was a passenger in a car that got pulled over. The details don't matter. The point is that the officer, the deputy, because again, this is the county sheriff's, asked, I guess, everybody to get out of the car.
Right.
And he did not get out of the car quickly enough.
Right.
For the deputy's liking. And so he ended up getting charged with hindering. This is very different from my case in that he was in the car that got pulled over. So he was kind of a part of like whatever the investigation was, right?
Sure.
So like he was at least, he was more involved in the actual thing than I was.
But,
you know,
but him taking extra time to get out of the car still didn't hinder the investigation.
Right. So they showed some of the body cam footage in the trial and it had the officer saying, yeah, you know, he made moves to get out of the car.
Right.
And then they like went back through the footage and did the timing. It was 20 fucking seconds.
Yep.
Between when the officer asked him to get out of the car and when he like, quote, made moves to get out of the car. And that was apparently too long. And so the officer charged him with hindering. But beyond that, the man that was trying to get out of the car is disabled.
Right.
And so he literally had to pick his leg up with his hands to like hoist his leg out of the car. Like he couldn't easily get out of the car. Like he had issues. He was disabled. Like it literally was physically impossible for him to get out of the car quicker than he did.
Doors open. He's complying. You can see everything. Just let him take his time.
Yeah. That case. He was found not guilty because it was bullshit. And so the Commonwealth's attorney, after that, went to my lawyer because, as it turns out, that was the first of 4 cases that day under the same charge. And the Commonwealth's attorney was like, wait a second.
Why the hell do we have 4 charges for hindering when we've never prosecuted a hindering case before?
Like, this is weird. And this is like a whole other tangent, and we've gotten into so many tangents, but like it seems as though the Commonwealth's attorney was literally ready to prosecute this guy, me, everyone else without ever even looking at any of the evidence. They were just going off of vibes, I guess, and the police report, which the police report is bullshit. But like they didn't seem to know anything about these cases whatsoever. And so they went to my lawyer and they're like, oh, hey, we actually want to like look at this and see if this is something we want to do. So can we get a continuance? When my lawyer told me that, I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, I'm here. I'm ready. I've got my notes. I'm like, I want to do this. But he is a great guy. And I'm not mentioning his name because honestly, I don't know if he wants to be associated with me.
I mean, he's a defense attorney, so I'm sure his name has been associated with way worse than you.
Oh, I mean, yeah, he's got some cases where we don't need to get into that.
We're not going to name him.
No, we're not. He's great, though.
He did a fantastic job.
Yeah. And he put up with me, which, you know, God bless him. So, yeah, he's like, this is good. He's like, you know, we've got to play nice. And then if we play nice, then they might just dismiss this out of hand and we won't even have to worry about it. I was like, OK, you're the professional. I trust you. I will do what you tell me. And I did. But I like, you know, I obviously didn't like it, but I trust him. And I was like, you know, I'll do what you say, because, again, you're the one who went to law school, not me.
Right.
You're the one who deals with these people on a daily basis, not me. And if this is what we have to do, this is what we have to do. And so we did. And it got continued for another month. We were hoping that they would just dismiss it. They'd actually like look at the body cam footage and realize I didn't do anything wrong and just dismiss it and we wouldn't have to worry about it. But that didn't happen. Instead, you took another day off work. We went to court again. We sat through, you know, some other stuff. And right before they were about to call our case, it was a different Commonwealth's attorney, but they went up to my lawyer and they're like, oh, yeah, we're not going to do this. And so they just dismissed it.
Right.
It was annoying. Because again, I've got my notes, man. And like, listen,
no, we were ready to go.
We were ready to go to battle. We were so ready to go. This is where, if anybody is still listening, because this is like so long and so not a normal episode. And I can't imagine anybody like has actually stuck with us for this long. This is just really more therapeutic, I think, for me than it is actually necessary to be put out there in the world, but it's fine.
I can guarantee you Jesus is,
I know, to this. Love you.
shout out to our number one fan.
You're my favorite. Here's where we are now. Based on my courtroom interactions, what it seems is though our sheriff, Mike Chapman, who I've never been a fan of, even before this, who attended a Stop the Steal rally, allegedly, he has been telling his deputies to arrest people on this charge. And the reason he's been telling deputies to arrest people on this charge is strictly as an intimidation tactic. And that is why I'm making this a big deal. Because, listen, at the end of the day, this was a misdemeanor. It was not a felony. I am in a very privileged position where I was able to hire a lawyer, where, you know, I'm around legal stuff enough that I can do the research, that I can look through the body cam footage and I can, you know, note down timestamps and like parse out what's important and what's not important.
Yeah, we were able to fight it.
Yeah, I was able to fight it. I had the privilege to be able to fight this. And I had a husband who told me like, hey, the way you got arrested was actually not how this was supposed to be done, because I didn't know that.
Right.
So, yes, I'm coming from a very, very privileged position here. And so I don't want it to sound like, oh, you know, I just don't think that these things should happen to me. I don't think these fucking things should happen to anybody. But I'm in the position and I have the platform to actually say something about it and to fight it and to do something about it. And so that's what I'm doing. And again, yes, I am monetizing it to pay for my lawyer fees. But like legitimately, an entire law enforcement agency shouldn't be sent out onto the streets with the mandate to harass people, to jam people up in the criminal justice system who don't deserve it purely for intimidation. And that's what this is, because 99% of the people who get charged with this, they don't know, like they're not going to be able to fight it. They are not going to know what to do. They're just going to be like, oh, my God, I fucked up. I got in trouble. Like, whatever.
Right.
they're not going to be able to dig deeper and say, like, no, this isn't right. And they're either going to get beaten down by the system. They're going to be like, okay, this is too much. I have other things to do, you know, whatever it is.
Or they'll get pushed over to ICE because there's some sort of immigration issue.
Yes.
Right.
But, like, luckily for them, I barely have a fucking job. I've got time. And now I'm making it everyone's problem. And this is where I need people's help. And I'm also going to, like, probably email my lawyer about this soon. Because you and I haven't talked about this in the last couple of days, so you don't know the last update.
Okay.
But for the past couple of weeks, I mean, week and a half or so, I have been arguing with the person in charge of FOIA requests at the sheriff's office. Now, before I did this episode, like I said at the beginning, I talked to my attorney. And I was like, okay, I just want to make sure that, like, I can talk about this stuff, like, you know, that I'm not going to do any, you know, get in trouble or whatever. He's like, yeah, it's all public record. Like, you can name the deputy. You can, you know, talk about whatever. Like, it's fine. Oh, well, I will say, he did tell me, he's like, well, you know, they null-prossed it, meaning that they declined to prosecute my case. I wasn't found not guilty because I didn't go on trial. And so technically, they can recharge me anytime within the next year. And so he's like, you know, the smart thing to do
would be to wait a year.
Wait a year before you actually talk about any of this, because they could always come back. And I was like, buddy, if I did the smart thing, we wouldn't be having this conversation in the first place. And he laughed. He's like, well, I wasn't going to say that. But yes, you're right. I made a FOIA request because I wanted to know how many times this charge has been brought against people in the county. And I was looking for this specific charge from January of 2024. I wanted to get almost 2 years, right? So I was looking from January 2024 to today. You know, I asked for things that I wasn't sure I'd be able to get, right? So I asked for, like, are there any memos or emails that went out that said, hey, like, charge people with this, right? And I knew there was a good chance I wasn't going to get that because that...
Yeah, internal memos aren't part of public records.
Which is fine, but I'm like, well, I'm going to ask for it anyway. And yeah, if they don't give it to me, they don't give it to me. That's fine, but I'm not going to not ask. Not only did I not get that, but they're like, well, we don't have that information. Which is fine, because one of the things about making a FOIA request is you can only request documentation that already exists. They will not, and this is any agency, they will not create a document for you for a FOIA request.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. And so
okay. It's not part of their job.
Exactly, and that's fine. And so I was like, okay, let me broaden it. Any arrest. Give me all the arrests. Every arrest, don't care what it is, I'll go through the data, I'll find what I need. And I even said from January 2025, not even from 2024. I was like, let's tighten up the timeline. Give me all the arrests, I'll go through it. They wrote me back and they're like, well, I can give you the current week's arrests. I was like, I'm not interested in that. Like, why would you do that? And they kept on citing a statute. And I looked at the statute, and the statute was saying that they couldn't give me a person's criminal record.
All right, but that's not what you were asking
for. I was not asking for that.
You weren't asking for individual criminal records.
Not at all.
You were asking for crime statistics.
Yeah, which is very much public fucking information.
Should be.
They cited that code twice to me. When I asked for two different things, they cited the same code. I'm like, well, neither time did I ask for a person's criminal records, so I don't know how this applies. The last email that they sent to me was with the current week's crime reports. And I want to pull up the email, and they said, information prior to the current week is considered historic information. The release of historic information regarding arrests is governed by 19.2-389 of the Code of Virginia and is exempt from disclosure. But that's the same statute that says, quote, dissemination of criminal history record information, end quote. Criminal history record information, CHRI, refers to, quote, data on an individual's involvement with the criminal justice system, including arrests, charges, convictions, and dispositions maintained by criminal justice agencies, end quote. That was the statute that she said to me as to why they didn't have to give me historical arrest information. And I said, I'm not asking for any individual person's information. I'm simply asking for agency-wide arrest information that should be publicly available. To which they replied, there is no document readily available. The FOIA does not require agencies to create any new documents that do not already exist.
So they have no documentation on historical crime statistics.
Other than, so, and that's the thing. I'm like, so what I, this is, this
which is, which is bullshit because they have to report crime statistics to the FBI.
Right.
For the Uniform Crime Report.
Right. So she wrote that to me on October 6th. On October 7th, I responded, thank you for your response. I'm a little confused, though. And also, any man who's been in a fight with a woman knows that if a woman says, I'm a little confused, she's not confused. She's never been more certain of anything in her entire life. I'm a little confused, though. You had a weekly report with the information I requested that you gave me. So that document does exist. Are you saying it doesn't exist for any other weeks? Are these reports deleted? What I'm asking for is a list of all arrests made by the LCSO beginning on January 1st, 2025. It can be in any format, daily, weekly, monthly, etc. Are you stating that LCSO does not keep track of arrest data? I'm extremely confused as to how this information cannot exist, so any clarity would be greatly appreciated. They never wrote me back.
You're asking for crime stats that legally have to be reported to the FBI. And yeah, to your point, they have a weekly crime stat report.
Does it get burned in a fucking ritual? Do they print the copies out, start a bonfire, burn them in a cleansing ceremony and then, the end of every week?
And then delete all of the metadata behind it? Like, what the fuck does that mean?
It's like the scene in Office Space when they go and they put the printer in yes. the field and they just go to town with a baseball bat. Like, is that what you're just doing with every computer? Like, what is happening?
Yeah. These documents do exist.
Yeah. And they're trying to tell me they don't.
Yeah. They have to exist. Legally, they have to exist.
They have to fucking exist. So if anybody out there is a FOIA expert who has a suggestion with maybe how I can better word this request to get what I want or whatever, because I did look into it. It's like, so I Googled like, hey, what happens when an agency is like bullshitting you on a FOIA request? I phrased it better, but, and they're like, well, you can appeal with the agency and then you can appeal to like, the OIG, or I don't even know what federal department or whatever, but the government shut down. Nobody
yeah,
works
I was gonna
anywhere
say,
anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
well, not only is the government
shut
down,
we're all going to get autism.
Trump's also eliminating like a million
Everyone.
OIGs. Yeah. No, it's like specifically, he's eliminating OIGs,
yeah.
which is crazy to me, but you know.
Right.
So there's no oversight in the government anymore.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, my next step is actually to go back to my lawyer and be like, hey, buddy, remember me? Like, remember how you thought you were done with me?
Here's some more money.
Yeah. I'm like, can I pay you to like help me? Because honestly, I want to know because I think this is a bigger issue. And I think this is a bigger issue of intimidation. And we as citizens shouldn't have to stand for this. Like, we shouldn't have some asshole sheriff just doing whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah. I agree.
I know that it seems insane that I'm making such a big deal of like what was literally a misdemeanor, but it's about what it represents.
Yes.
As somebody who's lived here for a really long time, I am really concerned about somebody, like I said, being on the streets with a gun who is very bad at his job. It concerns me that we have a sheriff who is using county statutes strictly, seemingly, for intimidation. Like, none of this is good. I've spent 5 years building this platform. If I'm not going to use it for something that actually fucking matters, then what's the point of any of this? So that is the very, very long story. of how I got arrested in front of my house this summer. It's not over. And as much as it should be over and as much as I should let it go, like, I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to keep on digging, and I'm not going to let the sheriff's office stonewalling me on this FOIA thing stop me. Like, I want to figure out exactly what's going on, what these people are being told to do, who's getting affected by this. And I want it to stop. So that's what I'm going to be working on for a while. And so if anybody has any ideas, tips, tricks, or, you know, if you're local and you know anything about this, like if you know somebody who's been charged with this, if you know a cool deputy who maybe got the order to like start arresting people, but maybe wants to like talk about it off the record, let me know. Please just email me, though. Like, you can message us on social media, but that gives me a lot of anxiety. So I just prefer that you email me at tips@andthentheywaregone.com.
So we have more to do with this case, even though it's null prost. We are going to keep digging on this.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry you arrested the most annoying person alive. If you stuck with us for this long, thank you. I appreciate you letting us get this off our chest. And yeah, we're going to keep going on it because this is my special interest now. But I'm also focused on our regular episodes, as you all want. And yeah, we will be back with our normal episode next week. And I'm not going to do the regular outro because I didn't do any writing, researching, or editing for this episode other than the research I did for my case. But we will see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
On June 11th, 2025, I was sitting at home minding my own business until I wasn't.
Oh my God. Really?
Yes! Because that's what happened. Is that not exactly what happened?
I don't know, honey. I wasn't here.
All right, shut up. We do this. Stop it.
I can feel good.
Don't look at me.